death. Everybody dies, but not everybody agrees about what death is. Some believe they'll survive after the death of their bodies, going into heaven or hell or somewhere else, becoming a ghost, or returning to Earth in a different body, perhaps not even as a human being. Others believe they will cease to exist, that the self is snuffed out when the body dies. And among those who believe they will cease to exist, some think this is a terrible fact, and others don't. It is sometimes said that no one can conceive of his own non-existence, and that therefore we can't really believe that our existence will come to an end with our deaths. But this doesn't seem true. Of course you can't conceive of your own non-existence from the inside. You can't conceive of what it would be like to be totally annihilated, because there is nothing it would be like from the inside. But in that sense, you can't conceive of what it would be like to be completely unconscious, or even temporarily. The fact that you can't conceive of that from the inside doesn't mean you can't conceive of it at all. You just have to think of yourself from the outside, having been knocked out or in a deep sleep. And even though you have to be conscious to think that, it doesn't mean that you're thinking of yourself as conscious. It's the same with death. To imagine your own annihilation, you have to think about it from the outside. Think about the body of the person you are, with all the life and experience gone from it. To imagine something, it is not necessarily to imagine how it would feel for you to experience it. When you imagine your own funeral, you are not imagining the impossible situation of being present at your own funeral. You're imagining how it would look through someone else's eyes. Of course, you are alive while you think of your own death, but that is no more of a problem than being conscious while imagining yourself unconscious. The question of survival after death is related to the mind-body problem, which we discussed earlier. If dualism is true and each person consists of a soul and a body connected together, we can understand how life after death might be possible. The soul would have to be able to exist on its own and have a mental life without the help of the body. Then it might leave the body when the body dies instead of being destroyed. It wouldn't be able to have the kind of mental life of action and sensory perception that depends on it being attached to the body, unless it got attached to a new body. But it might have a different sort of inner life, perhaps depending on different causes and influences, direct communication with other souls, for instance. I say life after death might be possible if dualism were true. It also might be possible, because of the survival of the soul, that its continuous consciousness might depend entirely on the support and stimulation it gets from the body in which it is housed, and it might not be able to switch bodies. But if dualism is not true, and mental processes go on in the brain and are entirely dependent on the biological functioning of the brain and the rest of the organism, then life after death of the body is not possible. Or to put it more exactly, mental life after death would require the restoration of a biological physical life. It would require that the body come back to life again. This might become technically possible someday. It might become possible to freeze people's body when they die, and then later on by advanced medical procedures to fix whatever was the matter with them and bring them back to life. Even if this became possible, there would still be a question whether the person who was brought to life several centuries later would be you or somebody else. Maybe if you were frozen after death and your body was later revived, you wouldn't wake up, but only someone very like you, with memories of your past life. But even if revival after death of the same you in the same body should become possible, that's not what's ordinarily meant by life after death. Life after death usually means life without your old body. It's hard to know how we could decide whether we have separate souls. All the evidence is that before death, conscious life depends entirely on what happens in the nervous system. If we go only by ordinarily observation rather than religious doctrines or spiritualistic claims to communicate with the dead, there is no reason to believe in an afterlife. Is that, however, a reason to believe that there is not an afterlife? I think so, but others may prefer to remain neutral. Still others may believe in an afterlife on the basis of faith, in the absence of evidence. I myself don't fully understand how this kind of faith-inspired belief is possible, but evidently some people can manage it and even find it natural. Let me turn to the other part of the problem, how we ought to feel about death. Is it a good thing, a bad thing, or neutral? I am talking about how it's reasonable to feel about your own death, not so much about other people's. Should you look forward to the prospect of death with terror, sorrow, indifference, or relief? Obviously, it depends on what death is. If there is life after death, the process will be grim or happy depending on where your soul will end up. But the difficult and most philosophically interesting question is how we should feel about death if it's the end. Is it a terrible thing to go out of existence? People differ about this. Some say that non-existence, being nothing at all, can't possibly be either good or bad for the dead person. Others say that to be annihilated, to have the possible future course of your life cut off completely, is the ultimate evil, even if we all have to face it. Still, others say that death is a blessing. Not, of course, if it comes too early, but eventually, because it would be unbearably boring to live forever. If death without anything after it is either a good or bad thing for the person who dies, it must be a negative good or evil. Since in itself it is nothing, it can't be either pleasant or unpleasant. If it's good, that must be because it is the absence of something bad, like boredom or pain. If it's bad, that must be because it is the absence of something good, like interesting or pleasant experiences. Now, it might seem that death can't have any value, positive or negative, because someone who doesn't exist can't be either benefited or harmed. After all, even a negative good or evil has to happen to somebody. But on reflection, this is not really a problem. We can say that the person who used to exist has been benefited or harmed by death. For instance, suppose he is trapped in a burning building and a beam falls on his head, killing him instantly. As a result, he doesn't suffer the agony of being burned to death. It seems that in that case, we can say he was lucky to be killed painlessly, because it avoided something worse. Death at that time was a negative good, because it saved him from the positive evil he would otherwise have suffered for the next 5 minutes. And the fact that he's not around to enjoy that negative good doesn't mean it's not good for him at all. Him means the person who was alive, and who would have suffered if he hadn't died. The same kind of thing could be said about death as a negative evil. When you die, all the good things in your life come to a stop. No more meals, movies, travel, conversation, love, work, books, music, or anything else. If those things would be good, their absence is bad. Of course you won't miss them. Death is not like being locked up in solitary confinement. But the ending of everything good in life, because of the stopping of life itself, seems clearly to be a negative evil for the person who was alive and is now dead. When someone we know dies, we feel sorry not only for ourselves, but for him, because he can't see the sunshine today, or smell the bread in the toaster. When you think of your own death, the fact that all the good things in life will come to an end is certainly a reason for regret, but that doesn't seem to be a whole story. Most people want there to be more of what they enjoy in life, but for some people, the prospect of non-existence itself is frightening in a way that isn't adequately explained by what has been said so far. The thought that the world will go on without you, that you will become nothing, is very hard to take in. It's not clear why. We all accept the fact that there was a time before we were born when we didn't yet exist, so why should we be so disturbed at the prospect of non-existence after our death? But somehow, it doesn't feel the same. The prospect of non-existence is frightening, at least to many people, in a way that past non-existence cannot be. The fear of death is very puzzling, in a way that regret about the end of life is not. It's easy to understand what we might want to have more life, more of the things it contains, so that we see death as a negative evil. But how can the prospect of your own non-existence be alarming in a positive way? If we really cease to exist at death, there's nothing to look forward to, so how can there be anything to be afraid of? If one thinks about it logically, it seems as though death should be something to be afraid of only if we will survive it, and perhaps undergo some terrifying transformation. But that doesn't prevent many people from thinking that annihilation is one of the worst things that could happen to them.